The former vice chair of the policing board, Dennis Bradley, with us this morning. Good morning to you, Dennis.
Good morning.
Good morning. We saw yesterday, and we replayed it on the Nolan television show last night, where you said that the policing board had been fully briefed about this. Arlene Foster made it clear in last night's programme she had spoken to party colleagues who were in those meetings and it was not clear. We've had other political parties in those meetings saying they did not know. This doesn't stack up.
Well, then, I think that, I think that people really should go and ask Peter Sheridan, who was the ACC, who delivered the briefing at the time, and Peter will tell you that he came in and delivered to the board the process as it was going to be worked out at that particular time that was going to be brought forward. It was a normal policing review. I don't think anybody had any great problem with a normal policing review, that there was a lot of people on a list, and that some of them were probably, there was no evidence really against them. There was some intelligence against them, but some of them and others had very great crimes against them, and they were going to sort them out.
Were the policing
people are very confused about this situation? There are still people on the run. I don't think that has been mentioned by anybody. The police have still on that list people on the run who have possible charges against them. The Downey situation was a mistake. That's very clear. He shouldn't have been given the letter under the terms of reference that Peter Sheridan outlined, who drew up there and presented it to the board. And that the people who would have been, that the police, having examined and reviewed it again, said, we can't bring this person before a judge, we can't send these letters to the DPP, there's not enough evidence, and so forth, that they had the right to be told that they weren't being sought anymore. That was the actual thing, and the reason for that is very important, I think, at the moment. The reason for that was because the police were being left with the totality of the past and are still being left with the totality of the past because the politicians, and that includes the British and Irish government and all our political, well, most of our political, particularly the two strong political parties, to be fair to the SDLP and Lyons and a few of the others, I think they've made great efforts, but the two strong parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP and the two governments, have failed miserably to actually deal with the past. So the police were taking the burden of all of that. Now, the issue,
Dennis, were the policing board told about the letters?
Not about the letters, about the review. The letters were actually only at the end of the process. They are not the letters are only a way of dealing with someone. I don't think everybody got a letter. I think some people were actually verbally told.
Well, the letter.
I left the policing board in 2007, and this process only began a few months before that.
Well, hold on a moment. If you believe some people were verbally told, that would suggest, we know that 187 people received letters. That would suggest that there could be far more if people were verbally told.
If you go to the, I came across.
Why would people be verbally told and some people get a letter?
I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I mean, Peter Robinson claims that he is very angry at the moment, and he claims he didn't know about this. I'm claiming his party knew about it. I don't know if they told him or not, but my point would be this. I have more right to be angry than Peter Robinson because I, with Lord Eames, was involved in the consultation in the past. We sat down a number of occasions, officially, with the British government and a number of people within the British system at the highest legal level, plus at the highest political level. We were never told that there were any royal pardons ever granted to Sinn Féin or to the IRA or to anyone else. Now, if Peter Robinson and if the British government are now admitting that they actually produced or they actually granted people some kind of immunity.
Well, it's in the court documents.
Well, then, they told us lies, which is much worse than anything that has happened in Northern Ireland.
Who told you lies?
And the reason why I'm
saying you're saying the British government told you lies?
Well, they didn't tell us, so that's a lie. They told us by omission. It's a lie by omission. That they didn't tell the group of people whom they had asked to deal with the past that they actually had an agreement with the IRA. If that is true, I don't know if it's true or not. Peter Robinson said last night.
No, but I've read the court documents. It is very clear from the official court documents that royal prerogatives were issued.
We were not informed of that. Never knew that had happened.
How do you feel about that?
I feel very angry about it. Because the British government should have told the official body who was set up to do a consultation and to review into the past that this was happening. The second thing is that the police were very admirable about this situation. Very admirable. And the reason I'm out speaking publicly is because the police need somebody to protect them at the moment. They did nothing wrong in this, apart from the Downey case where they made a major blunder. But the rest was done up front. It was done openly, it was done transparently, and it was done within the normal procedures of good policing.
Well, did the police know about the letters? Had they known about the letters?
No, the letters are their process, Stephen. You're confusing these, and it is a confusing. I admit that this can be a confusing situation. Royal Pardons is not involved. If anybody had enough, if the police had enough evidence against anybody, there was no possibility that they would get anything other than that their file would go to the DPP and that they would be taken to court if they were caught.
But Dennis, here's the only problem with what you're saying. The cynic might say, if that's true, because it doesn't matter who it is or where it is in most countries in the world, if there is no evidence, then someone cannot be prosecuted.
Correct.
If that is the case and it is that simple, why was it all done in secret?
It wasn't done in secret. It was done to the policing board.
Jerry Kelly from Sinn Féin said on the Nolan television show last night.
Sorry, there are people on the run, I told you, still.
No, but there he said, but Dennis, listen.
Of the Republican movement who do not come back to Northern Ireland.
Jerry Kelly said on the Nolan show last night that had people have known about the letters, there would have been a crisis. That's what he said.
Well, I can't speak for Jerry Kelly and thing. I'm just telling you that officially what the PSNA told the policing board back in 2005 was that they were doing a review and that they were informing the policing board that they were doing this review. And it was of all these names of on the run. Now, when it came to the consultative group in the past, in 2009, we actually examined this situation and put it into the public record. And we said we disagreed with it. And we disagreed with it because it was one-sided. And it also had been really mucked about, and that on the runs should stay on the run, that there should be nothing dealt with them until the very end of the process, and then it should be examined. Now, that is very strongly within the recommendations of the... Because our process was that if there was evidence against anyone, it should be sent to the DPP. Because that is the normal process of law. The difficulty is, at this moment of time, is that the politicians have again and continue to fail to take this burden away from the police who cannot deal with it properly because they get caught on one side or the other. And that will continue to be, and it has polluted the Ombudsman's office already. We had a crisis there. It has polluted the courts. Some of the senior legal people in Northern Ireland are saying, we can't continue to do this. We can't afford it. It's too expensive. But far more importantly, we recommended, myself and Robin Eames and the people that we worked with, the other eight people, sat through for 2 years of dealing with this stuff and said the only people who can deal with it are the British and Irish governments because this is too difficult for our politicians. And it is now becoming clearer by the day, that our politicians cannot do this. And if I was sitting in a ministerial position in England at the moment, I was particularly the Prime Minister of England, I would say today, we will take this burden of the past on us, along with the Irish government, and let the politicians get on with normal politics.
How do you feel, and what's your view on the First Minister saying, unless those letters are rescinded, he will resign?
Well, I can understand
DUP's Arlene Foster has said that's what he will do.
I can understand that anger. I'm angry. If there were people who were given pardons and we weren't told about it.
Okay.
We would have had to address that within our report. That is a lie of omission.
Okay, well, I want to read to you, Dennis, because I've read the whole thing. I want to read to you from the court document that was issued this week. This is a court ruling,
yes.
Okay? So this is the official court ruling on the John Downey case.
Yes.
Paragraph 55. The royal prerogative was used in a small number of cases. So there's no ifs about it. It was used.
Well, all I'm saying to that is that we weren't informed that it was used in any of the circumstances to do with the past. So that makes it that they didn't tell us the full truth, and they may not have lied about it in the sense that they actually spoke the words, but nobody told us that there was such a deal or such an issue done. And that is secretive. That has been too clever by half, and that pollutes the situation. And I agree with those people who are very angry. If that is the case, you're mentioning it. Peter Robinson mentioned it last night. I think we all have the right to be angry around that. But anger is one thing. The other thing we need to be angry with is our failure to deal with all of these issues. Because, again, going back to the consultation on the past, we warned the politicians that if they didn't grab this, take it away from the police, take it away from the criminal justice system, stop polluting those things and deal with it at an independent, slight distance from that, but using the best resources of the criminal justice system, then you were going to run into political quagmire.
How worrying
that has now happened, and it is very clear. And what the politicians, I think, need to do is to have the humility to say, we cannot deal with it. It's too difficult, it's too complex, we're too close to it. Let the British and the Irish governments deal, set up some kind of process to deal with it.
Dennis, how worried about you about where we are and what's happening?
Well, I worry about the cynicism and the growing cynicism and the growing hurt and the growing anger and the shouting and the roaring and our side and your side and everybody's side. So many people in Northern Ireland are hurt. So many people have been damaged in so many different ways. And our politicians need to take some responsibility, and the two governments in particular really need to step into this situation, because it is true. We could have an election very soon, but it doesn't solve anything. It just brings us back to where we are, and people will go to courts. They will go looking for some kind of justice or some kind of truth. Well, and the police will continue to be involved, and they are being damaged by all of this.
Well, some opponents of the DUP might say that actually this could be a strategy of the DUP to trigger an assembly election, and then to show how hardline they can be.
Well, that's. Columnist journalist. I work as a columnist at times, and I make hard judgments on politicians too, but at the end of the day I have great sympathy for them. I understand how difficult it is, and I understand their limitations. And my own judgment and the judgment of the group that I worked with for 2 years and had the privilege to work with and who listened to this situation, not just to the victims, but to all the political parties and to all the former secretaries of state and to all the legal brains in Britain within the British establishment, our judgment was that this was too difficult for our politicians, and that has turned out to be true. And I think the crisis now should turn into the situation of saying, look, this is messy. And the on the runs is the most messy of the lot, because it is one-sided. Okay. If I was a loyalist, I would be outraged. If I was a middle, moderate unionist person, I would be saying, what was all that about? Because that's now where this story has gone to. And I think we need to pull it back into saying, we need to deal with this with fairness, with equality, and we need to deal with it with a comprehension that we haven't brought to it yet. And that needs to be done soon. And that, in my opinion, is the way out of this crisis, which gives Peter Robinson and people like me who are very angry with the British government at the moment, at least the situation which says, well, they have now grasped this nettle. And the Irish government need to have their feet put to the fire a little bit too and said, you're part of this problem and you need to get engaged here.
Dennis Bradley, thank you very much indeed.